It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Snake. Final hour. Power hour. You better, you bet. BetQL Network on a magnificent football Monday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you. It's a little melancholy, bittersweet. End of the college football season.
Is it any of those things?
I don't know. I just like betting on stuff. So, I mean, I guess a little bit now that we've come to the end of it and there are no more games. Kind of a little stinky. It's the last one.
I always appreciate Championship Monday night. It's always really fun. But college football is not a sport where when it goes away, I'm like immediately dying for it to come back again. But I'll get the itch. Like Masters weekend or April, open it back up the spreadsheets again. Who transferred where, which... this year is going to take like a month to figure out probably or longer. Then I'll start to really kind of miss it again. But right when the season ends, because NFL playoffs is going on, college basketball is going on, and golf has started back up again. Be quite happy to have the work off my plate for a little bit, just to be honest. Very much looking forward to the game tonight, though.
I'm still a little upset with you for saying I think that I'm on the dead wrong side of the Rams-Cardinals game.
It's my opinion. Why do I have to be right? I might not be right. I think you're on the dead right side of Dallas-San Francisco, even though I don't have a number edge.
Thank you.
Maybe play some Dallas alts in that game. Everybody thinks that game's going to be way close. Maybe play some like Dallas 9.5 or something.
I might bet the Patriots at 4.5.
Okay. I don't want to say anything mean again.
Well, we love the Raiders. That's the Raiders.
We do. Kanish does too. I'd be hard pressed. I wonder if we're going to have somebody on the show the whole week who likes Cincinnati.
So we don't have any Bengals fans, right?
I don't think so.
I don't know any.
Do I know any Bengals fans?
So I have a cousin who's a Bengals fan because he lived in Cincinnati for a few years. But yeah, he loves the Bengals. Screw him. I actually really like him, but I hope he has a miserable Saturday.
Right.
Okay.
Start spreading the news. Time for our picks.
All right. All our bets are coming up right now for Alabama, Georgia in the national championship game. So it's time. Jake the Snake, kindly drop the dope ass beat. Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Did you know the NFL playoffs are here?
Maybe. If you listen to any other part of the show.
Now that you do, the NFL playoffs are here. And you can enjoy the action now more than ever with our friends at the BetRivers Sportsbook. They're your football betting powerhouse all season long with special promotions and great odds on all the playoff games. You can also create your ideal bet by combining multiple plays from the same game into a single wager with BetRivers' same game parlay feature. BetRivers is always adding new same game parlay props for you to choose from. So give it a try and see if you can hit it big. And if you're new to BetRivers, they'll match your first deposit up to $250. Just use the code 250MATCH when you sign up. So make the most out of Wildcard Weekend by downloading the BetRivers app, checking out BetRivers.com so you can start betting with the winner. The real ones know that winner is the BetRivers Sportsbook. The real ones also know that BetRivers is their hometown sportsbook. Got to be 21, playable in states where BetRivers is licensed. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Playable in New Jersey and the great state of Connecticut as Play Sugar House. So the real ones know about BetRivers. The real ones also know about BetQL and BetQL's five-star plays, and they want BetQL's five-star plays, and damn it, we're going to give it to them right now. Let's start in hockey. The Kraken released +1.5 on the puck line at Colorado. We go to college basketball. Some truly dreadful games, but we're going to have bets on them of the five-star variety. How about Arkansas Pine Bluff? +12 at Prairie View A. It's like Mad Libs. Arkansas Pine Bluff at Prairie View A&M. Love Pine that. Bluff, +12.
Naturally.
Holy Cross plus 6.5 at Lehigh. Holy Cross is the bet there, plus 6.5. Oh, I've got a bet on this game in the first half variety. Nebraska, Omaha. It's a Peyton Manning joke to be made here. Omaha. Nebraska, Omaha at Missouri, KC under 141.5. That will show up on your sports book as Omaha at Kansas City under 141.5. And then Boston at American over 130.
Gotta be Boston University. Has to be Boston University. There's no Boston.
Yeah, BU.
Boston University is in the Patriot League, so that makes sense. BU.
Yes, at American. The Eagles.
Well, it just says Boston. I don't know. I'm trying to clarify for people.
Yeah,
Boston
of course.
At
yes.
American.
Yes, like that
like
says
some baseball
Boston.
Game from 1896 or something.
Yeah. Yes, well, that says Boston. And also, I was given something to read before, which says, and I quote, "Breaking news from Bet River Sportsbook for my New York listeners for tonight's game. Start spreading the news. Bet River Sportsbook is giving a 500% boost on tonight's national championship on a bet up to $50 max bet."
That's a lot. There's a lot going on there. You spread it, to be fair.
Yeah. I should have read it from a different spot. I tried to be funny and I failed. Okay. So I think that's our cue to move on. All right. So BetQL.com and the BetQL app. Now we move on. National championship. Ken, you have said several times over the course of the last week plus here on You Better You Bet, you can't wait for this game. And you've been, a little humble, saying, "I hope I'm right." But really it's been, "I can't wait to be right" on Georgia and Alabama.
I know you've said this, but what you mean is you're actually 100% sure that you're going
like
to
you
be
are
right.
Already, you've already spent the money that you'll be making off of this game tonight. So
well,
at
two
our
kids,
show sponsor,
it's quite possible I already spent the money.
At our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. This is close to coming back down to 2.5. Let's call it Georgia minus 2.75. It's Georgia 3, but all the juice is towards Bama. So Georgia hovering in between 2.5 and 3. Total here is 53 in the national championship game. The money line price currently, Georgia minus 148, Alabama plus 120. So, I mean, if you go to the different Bet Rivers, like across the, like, you might have like slightly different like money line prices, et cetera, but somewhere in the range,
this,
let's say of
this
like.
This is close to consensus though. This is really close to the consensus numbers. It's like 2.5, 115 to 120 and like 53, maybe a 52.5 on the board. That's about it.
Okay, so Ken, what are your bets side in total? And then if you have any props, we would love them, please, for Georgia, Alabama, and the Natty.
I do have some props. I think that my philosophy on this game, at least, so this isn't like the end all be all for the only way to approach this game. A simple way to approach this game would be, ha ha ha, Nick Saban is an underdog. Give me my wheelbarrow of money. I've heard, basically that analysis. And you could be right. He's the greatest coach in like the history of professional or the history of sports, period, professional sports. Definitely not the greatest coach in the history of professional sports. Could be right. Here's my approach to the game. All year, I've had Georgia rated as better than Alabama by more than this. The two teams played in the SEC championship. The closing number in that game was 6.5. From then to now, and obviously that result was Alabama with a resounding victory, and that's why part of the reason why we have the number we have. From then until now, has enough changed, or is the uniqueness of tonight's game different enough that I would deviate from my rating going into that game? Not really. And if anything, what has changed? Has anything changed that would actually make me like Georgia more than I did in that game where they closed 6.5, and you get a way, way, way better number here. Now, at college football point spreads don't work the same as the NFL. The numbers don't land as often in these like quote unquote key number ranges. The scoring is more spread out. There's more scoring, period. But 6.5 to 2.5 is like kind of a big deal. And if anything, the stuff that I can think of from game to game kind of makes me like Georgia even more, to be honest. A couple things that stand out that are very obvious. Alabama is without John Metchie, who's one of their best offensive skill position players, one of their best red zone wide receivers. And I think in the first meeting, the combination of him and Jamison Williams drawing kind of equal attention is what allowed Alabama to have their best part of that game, where they were able to throw the ball downfield for explosive plays. They won't have that tonight. Now, it doesn't mean they can't fill Metchie in with 5-star receivers that are going to be really good, but again, like, do I like Georgia more than I did in the first game? If so, why? Well, Metchie not there would obviously be a pretty good reason to like Georgia a little bit more. Next thing would be pretty straightforward. It seems likely now that Georgia's defensive line and other members of their team had COVID when they played the SEC championship game. And that seems like something that would make you play worse, or at least make you seem likely to play better in this game. They kind of admitted it a little bit coming to the buildup leading up to the game. It was definitely a concern going into that game. We remember the positive tests for both teams.
And
going
can I just interject here? And like, this is not meant to be like, oh my God, they had, cause like survived. Like, we're not worried about like people dying or anything, but we've seen this in the NFL. Like Tyreek Hill, I think, was one of the latest high profile examples of a guy comes off the COVID list, plays in a game, does not do much in the game and then says afterwards, like, I'm sucking wind basically during the game. I'm exhausted during the game. So we've seen professionals do this. So, I mean, these kids are playing in the game, maybe with it, not even coming off of it. I think maybe like some of them maybe felt okay, but I think it's fair to assume that they probably couldn't give their best effort. Again, like, not looking to relitigate the game, like Bama won the game convincingly, but just something to consider in a game where those players who had COVID, we think, right, are likely to not have it now. I mean, that would be something else if they had it at this point, like a month later.
Again, if you're just trying to kind of weigh on one hand, like, what are things that are going to make you like Georgia more? What are things that are going to make you like Alabama a little bit more? So that would be thing number two, I think, in the pro Georgia column. Not that they have to play better, but just you'd feel a little bit better about them coming into the game, that you have less of those concerns. And I think the other thing, honestly, is that Saban in the first meeting, being sort of the like grand master of coaching that he is, his ability to come up with these strategies, surprised Georgia a ton with tempo in that game and gave them a look. And again, they only had a week to prepare for the game, basically. You know, they probably installed stuff before that, but really showed them something that Georgia admitted afterwards that they were completely unprepared for. And you have to believe, at least in the time between the semifinal and now, some attention has been paid in terms of trying to prepare for Alabama playing faster in the game. What's the curveball going to be for Alabama now? Are they sort of finally figured out a little bit more coming into the game than they were in the SEC championship game? Is there another wrinkle or wrinkles? And it's Saban, so the answer is probably going to be yes, but you just remove something that Georgia hadn't prepared for necessarily. All of these things make me like Georgia a little bit more in the game. So I get it. I know why the number dropped, because they played, and in college football, you don't play that many games, and Alabama beat them handily. And the number was 6.5, so now it's going to be less. And the total was lower, and now it's going to be higher because there were more points scored. I get that. I'm not even saying it's wrong. My philosophy is, in these situations, that I usually, not all the time, but usually, unless there's an injury or something really significant, tend to push back against moves that are this drastic when the teams have played previously. So Georgia at 2.5, we can call it. And also the under would be best for me tonight. That is not surprising. We've done that on the show before, but just kind of an interesting way to work through the game. It doesn't mean I have to be right. It's just how I'm choosing to approach the game tonight.
Let's talk about how to bet Georgia here, because I know we've talked a lot about Colin Wilson said it on our show at the end of last week, betting Georgia on the money line potentially here with the price now sitting in the high -148 at Bet Rivers. We were just seeing just now it was -143 earlier in the day today. Like, would you recommend a money line bet? Like, what is your cutoff? I would not bet the money line here. I would recommend -2.5. Like, what about money line versus spread, and kind of like your entry points for both? Like, when would you bet, when would you not bet both of those, Georgia money line and Georgia laying the points?
So I do have a bet on both. The first thing I bet was money line because I thought it wouldn't exist much longer. It's gone up and gone away, and now we're back down kind of into the range. I don't know if there's one I necessarily like more than the other. I would advocate for a bet on either, honestly, to be as long as it's 2.5 -15 is your entry point on the spread, obviously.
But like, you would stop betting the money line at what number? Like, in case that started happening as we get closer to kickoff.
I can check my sheet, like 165 is probably the stopping
point.
Oh,
so you would bet, so you would bet them up a little bit more here still. There's still
to go. I think they're more likely to win the game. I mean, that's, I like them. I mean, it's sort of the ranges are a little different spread money line wise, but like I make them more likely to win than the market does, for sure. Even at the numbers that we have approaching game time. I mean, not by like a ton, I guess, but enough that it's worth betting. And the other thing is, this is not going to be something that's rooted in mathematics. This is just sort of how I think Georgia can win. I actually think a lot of Georgia's paths to victory have to be like dominant performances. Get up early, build a big lead, pray. Basically, like, is that kind of how it goes? Like, if they're... Are they the type of team that's going to get down 21-10?
Is Tua on the bench or no?
Yeah. I mean, the season's over and his coach got fired. Maybe he's on the sidelines tonight. Maybe we have no idea. I think that a lot of times, this is just like my intuition about the game. This is not like necessarily a mathematical equation. I think Georgia's path to victory is to actually like get a very early lead and build it or hang on to it. I think they are not necessarily, because of the team that they're playing and their history with that team and how the first meeting went, I don't think they are a team that's going to be down like 21-7 at halftime and have this sterling comeback performance to win. I think Alabama could win like that. I think Alabama could win a lot of different ways, but I think Georgia's got to be a front runner. So I think a couple other ways to bet them, if you don't like laying the points of the money line, halftime full time for Georgia is about +120. So I have to be winning at halftime and winning at the end of the game. You could also bet them in the first half -1.5 if you wanted to do that. I think this game takes the shape of Georgia's winning, and then let's see what happens from there. That's sort of just my intuition about how the game plays out. So just a couple other options if you'd like, well, I don't want to bet the point spread. Well, like, what else can I do? You get a little bit better money on Georgia halftime, full-time, obviously, because they have to be winning at halftime, not just the end of the game. So a couple other ways to approach that. We can do props in the next segment if you want, but just that's kind of how I see the game going. I'll just be honest. I also think there's a version of this game where Georgia wins by a lot. I actually think there's a chance they're that much better with Mechie out at Alabama's offensive line in the state that it's in.
I want you to delve into the total a little bit on the other side, but I know you said Georgia 2.5. So in case this number hits 3 at any point, if it hits 3, is this a Georgia money line bet? Is that what you're recommending? Like, you would not lay the 3, you'd lay 2.5. And if it's 3, bet Georgia on the money line for our listeners and viewers who do not have a position on the game.
Yeah, like the Rangers are actually pretty close at that point. Like if it's 3, but you have a 145, sure, something like that.
Okay, so there you have it. Ken's takes on the side, both money line and the point spread of Georgia-Alabama. Coming up next, we will delve into the total, and then we'll give you our props, and then we'll get into college basketball and fill up the old bucket of bets.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Okay, we promised that we would give you total breakdown for the next. I'm on Georgia also. Like, we talked about this last week. I bet Georgia on the money line. Georgia minus 2.5, I feel like, is fine as well. So kind of like the same analysis that Ken gave you. He did it in a really spectacular way, I felt. I complimented him when we went to the break. We touched on it last week. So in the interest of moving on, I've got Georgia as well. Been giving it out in the sports betting minutes. We literally talked about it last week on Monday. We both like Georgia in the game. And then we had guests on, and they like Georgia as well. So good luck and Godspeed, everyone, on the side of the game. Now, Ken, we also touched on the total at the end of last week, which is now sitting, what, 5 points higher than it was in the SEC championship game?
Yeah, but about 4.5, 48.5, I think, was the close of the first meeting, something like that.
So 4.5 points more is 48.5. Now it's 53. With Mechie not playing in this game, obviously, with the torn ACL, do you have a bet on the total? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I have a bet on the under in this game. If it's a kind of like which one I like more, I'm more confident that Georgia wins than the game goes under. But I have both bets in the account. These aren't like bigger than normal or anything. I know it's a big game, so people tend to bet bigger when the game is awesome or like the Super Bowl or whatever, but just not what I would advocate for. Like, these are definitely not more confident than the bets we played for week 18 in the NFL or anything. Just bets, same as the bets for college basketball will be, or the NBA or something like that. But under, using some of the same philosophy and again, like the same kind of considerations, you know, Georgia's seen an additional card that Alabama has played, the idea of playing with tempo, Mechie absence and what that does, how Georgia's pass rush can improve if they only have to cover Jameson Williams as effectively as you know, some, like, they don't have another premier skill position player to cover. Like, what ends up happening? Like, what are the adjustments on both sides? Those are really, really surface level things, but I'm just not sure it leads to like fireworks the way that we necessarily think it will. Also, in a national championship game, I'm always of the opinion that you're going to get off to a slower start unless this is like lightning tempo teams or Joe Burrow LSU, who was just in this different stratosphere.
This is a clench situation. It's just like a bunch.
It doesn't. Like. Yeah. And it's kind of that. And it's, yeah, just the dynamics of a championship game and how maybe things are different. I've seen some bets on, I've thought about, I kind of like priced out score in the first 5, score in the first 6, first quarter under, which has been getting hammered at 10.5 already in a couple places, as like ways to play that also. Don't hate those. I don't think the prices are as good as I was hoping they would be. You can get plus on a couple of the first 5, first 6 minute stuff, which is kind of interesting. So I think that's an interesting approach, but just for the game total anyway, the idea that, again, this big of a correction for another neutral site game where you would actually be led to believe, at least in my opinion, that the dynamics in this game favor lower scoring than the dynamics in the first game, yet the total is higher, right? So those two things occurring in tandem. I really honestly, like, again, we're going to switch over to intuition. I think the Georgia defensive line is going to completely wreck this game. I really do. I think they're that much better. And I think they had every reason to play poorly in the first meeting because of how Alabama approached the game. I think it's a massive advantage for them. And I would be shocked if they didn't destroy the line of scrimmage, honestly. Would actually be shocked.
I love Georgia in the game, so I agree with you. I'm going to bet the under here, Ken, so I'm going to be on the under as well. So Georgia and the under for yours truly. I have Georgia on the money line at a couple different prices. After Colin came on, I literally bet it again, I think, like, while he was on the air. So Georgia money line, I think Georgia 2.5 is okay, like Ken said, and I like the under 53 in this game. So we've given our plays on side and total, Georgia and the under. Ken, what about some props that you're eyeing for this game, if any? Bama, Georgia, and the Natty.
Yeah, I mentioned kind of how I think Georgia can disrupt the line of scrimmage once Mechie was injured And, you know, kind of late in that second half against Alabama, like Kirby even told you, like they blitzed a little bit more. They could put more guys at the line of scrimmage and just apply a little bit more pressure. Like, it's Saban. Alabama knows this. Like, I'm not saying they're in trouble because of this. This is going to be totally, I really think the game is going to play out like this. I don't think Alabama can run the ball in this game. They couldn't run it in the first meeting. They had success because of explosive downfield pass plays, and that worked for them. I don't know if Bryce Young is going to have a lot of time to generate explosive downfield pass plays in this game. I could honestly, this is a total guess, but I actually could see this playing out, and enough that I think I'd like to bet a couple props related to it. Bryce Young quick passes, I actually think, are going to be the story of this game. I think it's like, get the ball out as fast as humanly possible, design plays where there's multiple options, like a lot of flat, a lot of running back, a lot of like, I just don't think he's going to have time to create that much. And they can't run the ball. Like, they just, I don't think they can run the ball. Colin Wilson came on and basically was like, bet the under on Brian Robinson down 30 yards from what it is right now. Like, basically, like, ain't happening. I don't know. So I think that's how it's going to play out. How do we take advantage of that from a prop standpoint? Even if, whether the game goes under or not, and I hope it does, and whether Georgia wins or not, Bryce Young usage would probably be the right way to take advantage of that. So I haven't found a book that will list attempts for him yet necessarily, but completions is 24.5. I think that's a little low based on the types of throws. He's also a phenomenally accurate passer too. So like that, you're also, you get help there. You can go over organically, or you can go over organically or strategically, which is kind of how I think they're going to end up playing tonight's game. I also think they're going to be losing for more of it than they were in the first meeting, which helps that too. So, yards is pretty good. I kind of like that. I think completions, just because of the depth of target, what I could see Alabama doing in the game. Georgia's been able to stop the run the entire season. And is that really going to change in this game? Alabama couldn't run it in the first meeting either. If you wind up in a close game or losing, you don't really have a lot of other options. So I think it's going to be a lot on Bryce Young and a lot on him making quick decisions. So I think he's competent at that. And I think they'll still lose, but I like his completions over tonight. I think that's good.
All right. So Bryce Young completion. Any other props for you, or is that going to be the only one?
I think that's it. So I agree with Colin on the Robinson rushing yards.
Well, I'm taking that. I'm in on that.
So Colin, I agree on that. Yeah, like I get it. It's not high. Like the number, I'm looking for the updated number right now. I'm just trying to get like an aggregate of what. Yeah, so most places have like a mid to high 60 on him, basically, is what I'm seeing in a bunch of places for rushing yards. Not a high number for an Alabama running back who gets a lot, who gets work against everybody. So intuitively, I kind of agree with him. He recommended that bet. It's worth people knowing that as well. I think he even gave out the Trey Sanders under, who obviously gets a little work for Alabama too. That's 20.5 in a bunch of places for people that want a little additional action in the game. If I had to bet one other one, I would actually probably on Georgia's side, and Kanish told you the Cook receiving yards over, what that goes hand in hand with is maybe what Georgia's approach might be tonight, which might be like less Zamir White straight ahead running. And his prop is lined, I think, around 50 rushing yards. I talked to a couple other people who bet this stuff today who were like pretty interested in his rushing under two. So like the traditional, you know, dominant running backs under seems to be kind of like a theme of this game too. I haven't bet any of these, but I think a lot of people like having action on this game, and these are what other people are betting, in addition to our plays on the side and total.
Any desire for the Jameson Williams under that Kanish talked about in the last hour?
Well, and part of his advocating for it was how different it is in places, right? And what he's basically doing is he's anchoring
at Bed Rivers, it's 115.5. He gave out 118.5. It's 115.5 right now at Bed Rivers.
And what he's doing is he's anchoring his opinion in a market making book that takes higher limits that has like 105. And he's saying, okay, that's the right number. Where is it different everywhere else? I'm going to play it down to the original number within reason to create. I mean, it's like you could also middle it in 10 yards if you really wanted to. So that was kind of his thought, is like off market numbers, like props at domestic books versus props at like larger limit books. So I get where he's going for. I'm not quite as enthused about Georgia's secondary maybe as he is. Like, I think Jameson Williams could still have a huge, like, he's that awesome basically. I hope he doesn't, and I think they'll pay a lot of attention to him, but it doesn't mean he can't. In college, you could still go nuts in that situation. In the pros, I feel like they can scheme where you just, remember Belichick went up to Chad Johnson that time and was just like, you're not catching a pass in that preseason game. Like, it's just, that's in the pros, I feel like you can neutralize like that. And in college, there's some guys I just feel like you can't neutralize, honestly. So he could still go over. It doesn't change my handicap of the side in total, but less interested in that prop probably.
How do you feel about Brock Bowers coming up tonight?
I mean, he's awesome, but he's also lined like he's awesome.
I mean, 72.5 is the prop for receiving yards
tonight. He's awesome. He's incredibly fun to watch for like a guy who plays tight end for a team that generally has like a boring offense.
He's really like OJ. He's awesome. Kind of like OJ Howard to a degree, right? In that sense,
he's just maybe super athletic. Yeah, super strong, super athletic. Like looks like a pro versus guys that he plays against, which is always like a telling sign in college. He's awesome, and he's lined like he's awesome. Could he go over? Absolutely. He's also his first touchdown. He's also like the third most likely first touchdown scorer, and his receiving props are.
He's the favorite.
Oh, okay. So he's been moved to the. So that's. I will tell you. Can I give you one other like prop thought during the break? I saw something. James,
I'm gonna give
Harden.
Out Stetson. I got Stetson Bennett anytime touchdown plus 510 because I feel like that's
look, Bennett like Will Anderson chasing him from behind. You're like, go Stetson.
I mean the gutty walk on winning his team a national championship, not like on the touchdown, but I'm on old Stetson the hat plus 510 anytime touchdown.
Will Anderson like a tidal wave coming up from behind Stetson Bennett.
Is Anderson going to be the number one pick of the draft in a couple of years? Like, he's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
absolutely
he's awesome. I don't do like the draft rankings and stuff necessarily, but he's just incredible. He's so good. Like, he probably should have been a Heisman finalist.
And I'll be on Collins Robinson under 61.5 is the current number at Bet Rivers, and the Stetson Bennett plus 510 anytime touchdown. What was your other prop you wanted to give out?
I just saw a couple offshores. I think they posted these props and then news happened. It's kind of interesting to me. James Harden was ruled out tonight for the Nets. And Scotland, you put that in our chat. Just confirm for me that that's true. I just haven't checked the NBA stuff. We'll do that next segment. So it was supposed to be the big three playing together, but with Harden running point, which he does all the time. They're playing. Who do the Nets have tonight again? Somebody remind me.
They're big
Detroit.
Favorites on the road.
They're
at Portland.
Big against somebody. Portland. In the night game. With Harden out, a couple books have put those like exotic props of statistic from the championship game versus player on the Nets. But I think they listed those before Harden was declared out. So one that I saw was Durant assists versus a couple different things. And that projection obviously skyrockets once Harden's declared out.
Yep.
Because he's going to just have a little bit, the ball in his hands a little bit more in a playmaking role. Now Kyrie, who's playing in a road game tonight, will obviously have a lot of that too. It's not like Durant gets all the Harden usage, but with Harden out, Durant does get a bump in assists. Maybe that makes it valuable. I think I saw, God, it was like him assists versus, I won't remember what the categories were, but that's, I would just give it that as an example of Super Bowl championship game. Just always check that stuff because sometimes news can happen or you read something about a game that's involved and it could lead to a valuable bet being created. So that could be another way to approach the game.
All right. You bet BetQL Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, magnificent football Monday. We'll get to the bucket of bets and college basketball bets in a moment. We just gave you all our bets for the national championship game. But we have breaking news from our show sponsor, the Bet River Sportsbook, for all our listeners in the great state of New York as far as it concerns the national championship game. Start spreading the news. Bet River's giving a 500% profit boost on tonight's Natty on a bet up to $50. That's right. A 500% profit boost on the national championship game open to all users on Bet River's New York. First-time depositors also will get the $250 deposit match when you use the code to sign up. At 250-MATCH is that code. So again, a 500% profit boost on the Natty, max bet of $50. Must be 21 or older, playable in New York. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Just to be clear, those are the numbers for Hope NY, not Hope NY and then the numbers. So text 467-369, a.k.a. Hope NY. I'll give out the COVID bets momentarily. We'll get to Ken's bucket of bets, but we got a couple games in the National Hockey League tonight. Our technical director, the great Bill Matz, stud all season long, giving us bets on the National Hockey League. Bill, you got anything cooking tonight on the ice?
I do. There are three games on the ice tonight. We're going to bet two of them. First one is the Colorado-Seattle over 6.5. The Avs have hit 7 by themselves 7 times this year, including against these Kraken a few weeks ago. 20 of their 31 have gone over the number total this year. They're just an offensive juggernaut. Their goaltending, very bad. Their defense, not great. So they give up a ton of goals. They give up goals at a rate like a bad team, even though they're one of the best in the league. Colorado and Seattle, over 6.5. I'm going to be betting Colorado overs basically until I go bankrupt because they go over every night. And we're going to go New York, the Rangers on the money line at the Kings tonight. Rangers are getting Artemi Panarin back in L.A. Even with Shesterkin still in protocol, I've got to go with New York because the Kings have been, yes, a little better than expected, thanks to John Quick looking like his old self, but it's not going to be Quick tonight. It's Cal Peterson, and looking at his game logs, every time he started against a semi-competent team, They've lost, and fairly convincingly. So I'll be on the Rangers tonight as small underdogs.
Loving it for the Rangers after losing the Stanley Cup back in 2014, the finals to the LA Kings. It's revenge, a dish best served cold on the ice.